Good afternoon and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. You're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin, near the Mississippi River. And this is also streaming live on Saturdays at noon, my show. And also the last Saturday of the month is Digging Deep, which is a new farming show we've started. And that's also at noon on Saturday. And if you'd like to hear this show again or look back into the archives, you can go to WDRT.org, look in archives under Who's in the Kitchen, and you'll be able to find this show. Today, I'm Philothea Beeson. I'm always Philothea Beeson. I'm having a guest, Christina Wozniak from Stoughton. So a little not quite in the Driftless area. But I met her in the Driftless area. We were at a great dinner party, and we got talking about food. And so I decided I wanted to have Christina on the show. So welcome, Christina.
Well, thanks for having me, Philothea.
Good. So one thing that really intrigued me is that Christina was involved in putting on this huge event called A Taste of Stoughton. And I said, oh, gosh, what's that? I never had heard about that. And so I'm going to let you kind of tell us about that. It gives you an idea of what kind of a community event can be put on and how, you know, who gets involved. And this event just happened recently, so you'll have to wait for another year to get to go to A Taste of Stoughton. But it might give you some ideas of, you know, places to hit when you're in the Stoughton area. So I'm just going to let you talk about it. You said you were vice president of this particular event. Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And this is, we just completed our fifth year as a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the last 5 years, we've given about $14,000 back to the city of Stoughton and other Stoughton nonprofit organizations that partner with us to help put this event on.
Well, that's great.
It started as an event that the Madison Area Builders Association was using as a reason to get people to also come out to the Parade of Homes. And there were a couple of citizens in Stoughton that are involved in building and construction in the area that decided to let's continue this event. So it was during that process that it went from being this little special event with a band and a couple of pop-ups tents and a few restaurants in town to an event that's now a 501c3 profit nonprofit. We've seen about 15,000 people come to our event in our biggest event. This year, our attendance was a little bit smaller due to the 40-mile-an-hour winds and the 98-degree temperatures. But it's over the course of the last 5 years, it's really grown into an event that not only gives people a taste of what Stoughton has to offer in our restaurants, but a taste of our music, a taste of our local artisans, a taste of our local cidery, a taste of our local brewery, and just an overall taste of what our community has to offer.
What a nice example for other small towns. You can do it too. I know we had here in Viroqua, we started a one-day event once, and it turned into many, many years. And it was called Wild West Days. And it was fun with a parade and lots of costumes and, you know, and it started out. Same thing, just some pop-up tents. And now we actually have a little village, which is the Wild West Days Village out by the fairgrounds. And, yeah, it's really fun, and it really can give an identity to a community, can it? And pull people together and say, hey, we have these assets.
It really can. It really can. And currently, we have four people on our board of directors, and it's four people that put this day-long festival on. It's always the third Saturday in June, if anyone wants to mark their calendars for next year. We would love to have you join us. You know, and one of Stoughton is a small town, you know, under 20,000 people, and you know, everyone says that they have a sense of community in their town, but the sense of community in Stoughton, I think, is something very rare and definitely something that not a lot of communities have, in the fact that we also community partner with a kitchen that we have in town. We have a kitchen that's called the Stack Kitchen. It's the Stoughton Area Cooperative Kitchen, and this kitchen allows groups, food businesses of any type, or individuals that are preparing food products to sell to the public in any capacity, a legal space to prepare and store the food for retail products.
That is an excellent asset, and we have tried to have something like that in our area also. And if you can't have a specially built kitchen, you can start maybe in a restaurant that wants to cooperate with you and let you use that kitchen once a week, or you know, we've done that. Somebody used a kitchen in a hotel that was not being used anymore, and made it available to the public. And we have a public kitchen down by Gay's Mills, a community kitchen, and that helps so much because there's a lot of food entrepreneurs that just. They couldn't possibly have the funds, you know, to really have their own space yet, and it gives them a chance to get their food out and to the public.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It really does. Especially, you know, people that want to market it, that have great recipes and great products, but don't have the commercial, you know, space or capacity to do that, to share what they have to offer. You know, this allows people to, you know, cook for their food trucks, to cook for farmers markets.
Right.
We have some really great products coming out of this kitchen. And it also gives us the opportunity to allow everyone that cooks in that kitchen the opportunity to participate in the Taste of Stoughton.
So it wasn't just restaurants. It could be any kind of, you know, little food cart or somebody that wants to have a booth, right?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. The only caveat is that we ensure that everyone participating in Taste of Stoughton, from our bands to our food vendors, are somehow tied to Stoughton and they are indeed local.
Okay, that's great. Of course, that makes sense. So some of the, you know, you briefly told us what kind of things are you can have a taste of. Can you go into a little more detail? Some of you maybe unique or the most popular places? You mentioned...
Wow. That's a tough question, Philippia.
You don't want to leave anybody...
We have everything from fresh squeezed lemonade to acai bowls to Norwegian meatball sliders. We have fish tacos, we have barbecue, we have African cuisine, we have Latin cuisine, we have Italian, we have some great local pizza places that participate, we have chocolate shop ice cream from a local ice cream parlor. I mean, this year we had, I believe, 17 food vendors. We had some local bakers that participate in local food markets that cook out of the Stack Kitchen. Anything that your palate desires, I think that we can accommodate at Taste of Stoughton.
Wow, you really have a wide variety of opportunities there, food opportunities. Well, you could easily spend a whole day, I think.
Absolutely. We have live entertainment. This year we hosted four bands, and all of our bands are somehow also tied to our community. They either grew up there, they still live there, also, so it's a great way to hear some great local music that comes out of Stoughton.
Mm-hmm.
We have a kids' family zone where we have face painting, tattooing, we have inflatables, a rock climbing wall, and we bring all of this to our community at no charge. We try to keep the event as free as possible.
Well,
the only thing that costs anything is what you choose to eat and drink.
Well, how do you make so much money then? You said you made $14,000 or something came to your community. How do you calculate that?
We've donated back about $14,000 to the community and to the city over the course of the last 5 years. How Taste of Stoughton, our organization, profits is from the fees for our vendors to participate. We have a very affordable fee for our food vendors and for our local artisans to participate and to bring their booths. And the only other source of income that we have are what we receive through donations. We have some great local sponsors that sponsor us every year. And also what we make in alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverage sales.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm thinking about, I think I'd really like to come to Stoughton. I've just been through there once. I know they have an opera house there.
We do. it's I would say, truly a gem in our city. We have an opera house, Stoughton Opera House, that conducts shows starting up here again, I believe, into August, beginning of September, and goes all the way through the spring. If you've never been, it is fantastic. The acoustics are incredible, and we have a very charming bat that likes to sometimes hang out and visit.
Well, that's how I came to Stoughton. So I was only there at night for a concert, and I was so impressed with the architecture and the way that Opera House has been restored. It's a really historic place. And but then I saw, oh, there's all kinds of cute little restaurants and places, and we don't even have time to go there or explore. So it sounds like Stoughton's a great place to visit.
It really is. It's a great place to spend a day. The Yahara River runs through our downtown. We have a very thriving downtown. We have a lot of restaurants and taverns that serve all kinds of wonderful local cuisine. It's definitely a place to visit, and not to mention our great Norwegian heritage.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, I am talking with Christina Wozniak from Stoughton, Wisconsin. It's a bit south of Madison. Is that what would you say south?
Yes, we are exactly as the crow flies, 20 miles from the Wisconsin state capital. We sit just south of Madison.
But it really is its own town. It's not a suburb.
No, we're not.
Definitely.
Stoughton is definitely not a suburb or a bedroom community. Mm-hmm. We're our own city. We're very independent of Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, with a very thriving downtown, lots of great businesses. Stoughton Trailers, for example, are actually manufactured in Stoughton, Wisconsin. We have a beer brewery, Viking Brew Pub, that serves some great Norwegian cuisine, brews some great beer. We have Mershon Cidery housed in Stoughton. So there's plenty to do on a day trip.
Wow. Well, you're listening to Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson, and I'm talking with Christina. She's been very active on the committee that puts on A Taste of Stoughton, and we've been listening just to her description of this event, which sounds wonderful, and of course many of us would like to go to some things, find out what's going on in and around Wisconsin. I love our state because of this, because we have so many festivals, mushroom festivals, cranberry festivals. What are some of the other crazy festivals that we have? You know, beer and wine and I think the festival way is a good way for a small town to bring attention to itself, and it does bring people together. And I think something is happening soon here, and I thought it was just Vernon County Night Out, but I think it's a national sort of movement around the country, Nights Out. Do you know of that?
Yeah, it's actually called National Night Out.
National Night Out.
Taste of Stoughton will actually be participating. I believe the National Night this year in Stoughton is August 5th. I would have to fact check myself.
Oh, that's when ours is in Viroqua too.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
Yeah.
But it's a night for citizens in a town to get out and meet your local police and fire and EMS. And just sort of hang out for an evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity if you've got kids to meet police officers and meet firemen and see all of their equipment and just sort of have a casual night together to come together.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that, this is my theory, Christina, that the small town is going to save America. I really feel like it's so wonderful to have a community, and some towns, that just springs up and things seem to happen and people have ideas and they start putting on events. And I know this has happened in Viroqua, and I think it would just be wonderful to be able to kind of export this to some of the little towns that have, the rural towns that have, just don't have much life in them anymore. And, some kind of event that they put on, like our Viola Horse and Colt Show, and a little tiny town of Viola is just draws lots of people, puts Viola on the map. And so these events are really important. They bring people together and their talents. And so I think the more of these we can have around the country, the more united we'll be, the more fun we'll have together.
I couldn't agree with you more, Philothea. It's amazing to me every year after Taste of Stoughton to look back at the pictures and to think about the day and to see what four people that have an idea and a little bit of extra volunteer time, sometimes a lot of volunteer time, can do when they put their minds to something. It's truly incredible.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about an event that some people created here in Viroqua, which was a harvest parade. And I don't know how long the harvest parade had been going on, but some people got the idea of making these giant puppets that you have to walk on stilts and have the puppets, over your head. And they're just giant. And they spent weeks, months in backyard garages and things building these papier-mâché puppets and turned this into just an amazing parade. And there's been events like that here that, you just have an idea, you get a few people together, and pretty soon you have something that's happening regularly. We also have something called Viroqua Soup, which our local Chamber of Commerce has been putting on, and where we invite nonprofit groups to come and give a presentation to a crowd of citizens who come for a bowl of soup. And then we vote on which group we want to support at that particular occasion. And it has turned out to be something everybody looks forward to. It grows every time we have a gathering, which is about every other month. It just gets bigger and bigger. We have to look for bigger venues for it. But then the money that went for the soup goes to the winner, and they have a little nest egg to start with, because one of the problems of doing any kind of little venture like this, it does take money. And you need little seed money.
It does take money, and it takes volunteers.
Yes, yes, it does take volunteers.
You know, and whether it's, you know, a half an hour or 6 hours, you know, volunteering, it's so rewarding.
Yes, I think so. I think you probably don't really know it until you do it.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
We try it. We try at Taste of Stoughton to make sure that our volunteer organizations get an opportunity to participate. But one of the things that we do to help encourage volunteers and to help support these small local organizations is to actually pay them a wage for the hours that they come and volunteer.
Really? Well, you know, when so many people are working, it's hard for them to even get away. And we have a lot more people working and less time for volunteering, and it's nice to appreciate them when they're giving their time.
It really is. It really is. Because, you know, as you said, people are busy now. Both mom and dad work. Kids are involved in sports and extracurricular activities. And it is. It's hard to come up with the time. But sometimes you have to just make the time for things that you feel passionate about.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to picture, where do you put this on? Is it at a fairgrounds or water park, or what is it? I think you said you had a water slide or something for children. Where is this located?
Yes.
In Stoughton?
Well, another lovely thing about Stoughton is we have amazing parks in our city.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the parks, actually the park that we host Taste of Stoughton in, is called Nordic Ridge Park.
Okay.
And Nordic Ridge Park has a beautiful pavilion. It's solar powered, and we also have a really cool inclusive splash pad.
Oh, that's what it was.
At.
Splash pad. Okay, so kids can run and jump and slide, huh?
Exactly.
Well, that helped when you had 90 degree weather this last June. Is this June?
Yes.
Yeah, June, right.
Yes,
third Saturday,
so it's the third
in
Saturday
June.
In June,
right.
And yes, it was incredibly, incredibly warm. But we kept everyone cool with the splash pad and lots of fresh lemonade and ice-cold drinks from our beer and beverage tents.
Well, that's great. So you're listening to 91.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org, where you can listen to this show on our archives or other shows that are coming from Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson, and I'm talking with Christina Wozniak. So we're going to move away from the event Taste of Stoughton for a little bit and just talk with Christina, because we really hit it off talking about food at a party recently, and I just thought it would be fun to kind of just share some dishes or some experiences we've had or things that we like to make. So what did you have in mind, Christina?
Well, Philothea, food is something that it's always been like an important part of my life. I remember being a little girl in my grandma's kitchen, and I think from the time that I could climb, I was getting into things in the kitchen. There's some great family stories about me climbing onto a kitchen cabinet and flipping over some pies that my mom had just made out of curiosity. I had an older brother and a younger brother that I liked to try my recipes and make things for growing up as kids.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, my earliest memories are of my mom and my grandmother's cooking in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother and grandfather that we live next door to had a huge garden, And my grandmother would spend the majority of the hot summer days with her daughters and grandkids running around, shucking corn to be canned, processing tomatoes. She made grape jelly. She made her own, she called it V7 juice. She made her own ketchup. My grandparents were a huge part of why I think I'm so into cooking and have always enjoyed it. It's definitely more than just eating for me.
Mm-hmm. I was just a couple of years ago, I guess it could be four or five now, I was in the Russian Museum in Minneapolis, and a friend of mine spied a cookbook there, and it was called Ukrainian Summer Kitchens, and gave it to me as a gift. And, well, of course, it's priceless now because of Ukraine. I don't know how people are surviving there. It's just so very sad. But one of their customs really was summer kitchens. And I think only people who have big gardens and preserve really understand why you would have a summer kitchen and what role it would play. Because when you have a garden and you have tomatoes, when they come in, you know, it's not like going to the store and buying a few tomatoes. They're all there at once, and you've got to do something with them. So a lot of the cooking in summer kitchens is huge quantities, and you want to preserve it for the winter, like in Wisconsin. So, you know, you're making lots of jelly, you're making pickles, you're making, you know, you're finding ways to preserve things so that you can have them out of season and not waste all that's growing on your land. I have two pear trees that if they feed, they feed 20 families. They're amazing. And you don't want to waste this wonderful food. So this summer kitchen book is really about a lot of preservations of foods and even some foods that you might not even be familiar with here in the U.S. But I had a little shed that I was making into a summer kitchen, and I had it torn down this summer, and I'm making it into a combination greenhouse and summer kitchen. So it's in the shade in the summer, but in the winter, it'll be all, you know, glass, and it'll be sunny for a greenhouse. And I do things out there. I also make candles out there because it's fun and it's kind of messy, and you can do it outside. So then you realize that, you know, as you cook, and one of the things we had talked about before the show is that you get into, you really tune into the seasons. So, you know, we're just starting to get cucumbers and zucchinis now, but and the green beans are coming on. Maybe the peas are over with, and tomatoes are ripening on the vine, but not quite yet. But at the end of August, we'll have tons of tomatoes. And so, and then you realize, well, that's why you eat a lot of those things, because they're in season. So I know you said you like to cook seasonally. You've tuned into that more.
I definitely have, and you know, I have a small garden in my yard in Stoughton, and right now the yellow summer squash and the zucchini. My tomatoes are coming a little slower this year, but all my fresh herbs. But yeah, we sort of really have shifted at my house to summer cooking and summer kitchen, and cooking the things that are plentiful in the garden. Just this week, I made some yellow summer squash, and I have never met anyone else that prepares it the way that my grandmother did, that she handed down to my mother, that I learned from the two of them, and that's that she just would simply slice the yellow summer squash and steam it on the stove, and then she would mash it with milk, butter, salt, and pepper. And I made it for the first time last week, and I was 7 years old in my grandmother's kitchen in Southern Illinois all over again.
Oh, yeah, that sounds Norwegian. Or is it, what? Yeah, what is your nationality? What was your grandma's nationality?
My grandmother grew up in around Henderson, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that she was German.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. Well, yeah, people are looking for, what do I do with zucchini besides deposit it on the back steps of my neighbor? I love zucchini, and I love it. I don't grow it because I accept it from other people who are trying to get rid of their surplus. But one of the things I love about zucchini is just, slicing it and, sauteing it in butter with onions or garlic. And yesterday I made some zucchini pancakes by just, grating the zucchini and adding a little egg and flour and, frying them into pancakes. My son came over and got a few that were made, and he put a little melted cheese on there, and he said, "This is a great breakfast." So I know that probably you don't cook so much by recipes at this point in your life. You just kind
Very,
of... Yeah.
Very little cooking, I think, with recipes. I do a fair amount of baking as well, and I do use a recipe closely for baking. But funny that you mention zucchini, because we've definitely, at my house from my garden, moved into the 101 ways to serve zucchini in 30 days.
Well, tell us some more of those ways.
Well, two of my personal favorites are I take zucchini and slice it, and I probably slice it almost a half inch thick,
mm-hmm.
and brush it with some olive oil and put it on my grill, and I grill both sides of the zucchini, and
mm-hmm.
when I flip it over the first time, I'll either use fresh tomatoes or tomato sauce that I've gotten from my garden. Put a little Italian cheese, whatever I've got around at the time, and sort of make like a little zucchini pizza out of it, and then throw some fresh herbs from my herb garden on the top when I take them off the grill.
Great.
Another easy favorite of mine, I made it just this last Sunday, is I slice a zucchini and take fresh tomatoes and chop those up and slice some onion and a little bit of garlic and some salt and pepper and just let that stew on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with that being sort of a side dish as a kid that my grandmother and my mom would make. But now as an adult, and I tend to eat more vegetarian than I do any other type of dishes these days. We'll serve it with like some kind of rice or over some type of pasta or with a tortellini in it. And it's just a great summer way to incorporate some of those vegetables that are coming in from the garden in a different way.
Right. Well, that's a good idea. Bring in the tortellini. That would be, I have never tried to do that. With zucchini, but I do like zucchini in a like a spaghetti sauce. It's a really nice addition, and I was trying to think. I used to make zucchini boats, so some of those larger zucchinis, where you can cut them in half the long way, and then scoop out the seeds because when they get larger, the seeds aren't really too appealing, and then you can make your whatever kind of little fried up tomatoes and celery and peppers and things like that and corn, make it into a little stuffing and some cheese and put it back into the boats and then bake them.
I've done that too and used Italian sausage.
Oh, that would be good. That would be good. Yeah. So, yeah, zucchini, what to do with that? And now here I'm longing for lettuce, and it's too hot to have lettuce in the garden, so I'm actually buying lettuce at the farmer's market or at the co-op. But some things are coming in, like broccoli. Do you have broccoli?
I don't have broccoli planted this year.
Mm-hmm.
My peppers are all starting to come.
So what kind of peppers do you grow?
I planted some ancho chilies and some poblanos.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a jalapeno, and I have my favorite, which are sweet banana peppers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, tell us some things that you do with those peppers.
Well, again, I'm going to mention a dish that I grew up with as a kid that was a staple on the table in the summer months. And it's sort of a regional dish I've learned to, like, the upper Appalachian, sort of Kentucky, very southern Illinois, and it's a dish called thunder and lightning. And you slice your sweet banana peppers, some onion from your garden, and chop up diced tomatoes, and just toss it in some salt and pepper and let it sort of marinate in its own juices in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Oh, so you serve it cold?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice when you have a grill, too, because a lot of vegetables just really take on a completely different personality when they're grilled, like eggplant.
Yes, I grilled an eggplant this last weekend that a friend of mine gave me from her garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, I think the same thing you said, you know, just brush it with olive oil and salt and pepper and just put it on the grill. I think
that's the perfect way to cook any vegetable, Sylvia.
I think so. Always having, well, like, you know, you mentioned your herbs from your herb garden. What herbs do you like to grow?
I have sage, cilantro, hot and spicy oregano, a ton of basil, chives, peppermint, dill.
Yeah.
But I've been sharing my dill with some very beautiful caterpillars that I hope are going to become black swallowtails soon.
Oh, really? They
yeah.
like dill.
Apparently they
oh,
do.
I have never seen. In fact, a friend of mine was just saying she hasn't seen that many black swallowtails this summer. So I'm glad to hear that you have some.
Yes. They've been really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. What else do I have in my garden? I have a lot of those same things. I'd like to have a better oregano. My oregano is just kind of rough, common oregano. It doesn't really have a very good flavor, but it really attracts the bees and other pollinators. It's just buzzing.
The spicy one that I planted this year definitely packs a little kick. I'm enjoying it.
Did you buy the plant?
I actually did. I got it from one of the farmers market in Stoughton.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you can get a little bit unusual plants from the farmers themselves or at a, you know, like an Amish greenhouse or something where they've kind of gotten some different seeds and you can try some things that you haven't tried before. Yeah, and I think the banana peppers, my friend told me she loves banana peppers, so I bought some and planted in my garden so I could give them to her.
You'll have to share the thunder and lightning recipe with her.
I guess so. As I was thinking, what else could I do with banana peppers? Do you serve them by themselves or do you usually incorporate them into a dish?
The banana peppers?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, the ones that I don't turn into thunder and lightning, which usually in the month of August and September, I can eat my weight in. a lot of times peppers I just rub with olive oil and throw them on my grill. Mm-hmm. And grill them.
Oh.
And, you know, use them in sauces later on. I like to throw them on a good veggie burger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea.
They're excellent in scrambled eggs.
Mm. This is the first time I've ever grown banana peppers. So I'm kind of finding out for myself what to do with them. And poblanos, what do you do with them?
Those I can just, I'll just throw on the grill and eat by themselves. Mm-hmm. They're that great. But I went to New Mexico for the first time this last fall and fell even more in love with green chilies and the flavor that green chilies bring.
Mm-hmm.
And New Mexico, their claim to culinary fame is their Hatch green chili and breakfast burritos. So I will grill those and use them in my breakfast burritos.
Mmm. So breakfast burritos would also have eggs?
Eggs, potatoes, a little cheese, some great local eggs, and a little bit of salsa and mm-hmm. some peppers.
Mm-hmm. I love burritos for breakfast. And, you know, burritos are great if you are vegan. You know, you can really have a really good dish that's got protein in it and good flavor by just, you know, some beans and those good vegetable toppings.
Yeah, I think eggs are a great way to get, you know, some extra protein in. Mm-hmm. But I also find that breakfast and egg dishes are a great way to use up some of the vegetables from my garden.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing tastes better than farm fresh eggs that are full of fresh herbs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about summer things, but what are some of the preservation methods you use for things you want to keep for later on?
Well, I am fortunate enough to have learned from the best, my grandmothers, how to preserve things by freezing them and also how to can. So I really enjoy canning. And actually, that's sort of how you and I became acquainted, Philippia, was with those beautiful pears that you have at your house,
mm-hmm.
and through our beautiful common friends, Molly and Paul, and the apples that they have at their place. And last year, I think I probably processed about 500 apples and pears. I froze apples and pears to use in desserts and things over the winter months.
And they froze well?
They froze perfectly.
How did you do that?
I peeled them and sliced them and dipped them in a little bit of lemon juice and water and drained them, and then I vacuum sealed them and threw them in my freezer.
Oh, that's great. And that sounds simple, but you know, when you do peaches, pears, apples like that, there's a lot of peeling and coring and getting them ready. But you're glad you did it when you finally did it.
Yes, definitely glad that we did it. Matter of fact, we just opened up a jar of jam at my house on Saturday
mm-hmm.
that had your pears and Molly's apples in it. I did two batches of, or two different kinds of butters from the apples and pears. I did an apple pear ginger butter,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic.
What makes something a butter and not just like applesauce? What's the difference?
I think it's the consistency mm-hmm. and the fact that you don't add any pectin or anything to it.
Okay. And you add some spices, I think.
Yes. Yes, I added, I used fresh grated ginger in that one, but I also added a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg
mm-hmm.
to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that I did was just an apple pumpkin butter.
Wow.
That we've enjoyed.
That's kind of unusual. Well, it's just so fun that when I met you, it was like, I've eaten your pears. I've even, you know, canned and frozen them. That's fun. Well, yeah, and I was away. I was in, I went to England last year during the month of September. And that, you know what's growing in September here. I mean, hundreds of tomatoes. So I had friends just take the tomatoes off the vines and throw them whole into big gallon plastic bags and throw them in the freezer. I said, I'll deal with them later. And that is actually is a very handy way. If you're just overloaded with tomatoes, it's a handy way to do it. Just wash them and put them in the freezer. And then later on, you can get them out in the winter and roast them in the oven with garlic and onions and peppers and things. You can make your own tomato sauce, you know, one batch at a time.
So and I do the same thing, Philippia.
No, oh, you do?
And I vacuum seal the tomatoes. Mm-hmm. But I will take fresh oregano, fresh basil, fresh chives, sage, and I will throw a big handful of that in the bag with it as well.
Great. Oh, in with your frozen whole tomatoes.
In with the frozen tomatoes.
Oh, and then they're in there. They're in there to roast.
Yes. Yeah. Or I'll throw them, I'll do just tomatoes and basil. And throw a couple of bags in them in on the kettle on a Sunday, mm-hmm. and cook it down. Pull the skins out, just sort of skim them out while I'm cooking it down, and then hit it with an immersion blender and have amazing fresh tomato and fresh basil soup on a cold winter day.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's another thing about when you freeze the tomatoes, when they thaw out and you start cooking them, the peels just come right off, and you can pull them out that way. And I do remember, you know, canning tomatoes, a lot of the preparation of the tomatoes is canning, cutting out the cores and things like that. I mean, peeling and cutting out the cores. But if you freeze them first, the peels just come off right away, and it's a handy way to save time, and I love dried tomatoes. So I always grow Amish paste tomatoes and put them in my dehydrator, and then they don't take up much room once they've dried. I just, you know, slice them about a quarter inch thick, and they're almost like chips. And then you can reconstitute them in the winter and get this wonderful tomato, you know, aroma, and restore them with a little bit of water and then add olive oil and garlic, and it's a great treat to take to, you know, to a dinner as a guest. And I was thinking about that. Just are there some things that you particularly like to take for a party or something where you're going to just have a plate of or bowl or dish of something?
I tend to err on the side of being, you know, what's bountiful and plentiful in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I recently have a bumper crop of English cucumbers. So the dinner party that you and I were both just at here recently, I incorporated all of those cucumbers and did a whipped feta dip that was topped with cucumbers and onions and tomatoes and Greek olives, and then used some of the cucumbers along with some pita chips to serve the dip on.
That was yours. I loved that. I was trying to figure out what kind of cheese it was. I thought it was cream cheese, but it was feta.
It was a whipped feta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it was so beautiful because, well, it's fun to make a dish beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I will tell you a little secret about me. Even when I'm tired after a long day of work and post-work meetings, I go home and make myself dinner, and I serve myself a plated garnished dinner most nights.
That is really nice. I ran across a book. I saw the woman interviewed on Martha Stewart many, many years ago, and she wrote a book, The Pleasure of Cooking for One. And she said, never stand up and eat. Always, you know, lay a place for yourself, a nice tablecloth or placemat, and light a candle, maybe put some flowers, And make yourself a nice meal and sit down and eat. Your company, too. And so that sounds like what you do.
It is. And I think it's important. I think that, you know, we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of our very busy lives these days. And it's just a nice way to, like, take a moment, take a breath, sit down, relax, and enjoy the beautiful food that I'm able to prepare.
Right, right. Enjoy it, give thanks, and appreciate all that went into it to get that to the table. Christina, I have so enjoyed talking with you, and I see why I wanted to have you on my show. I've been talking to Christina Wozniak from Stoughton, Wisconsin, and we've been talking over the phone, but we met at a party out here in the Driftless and really connected over food, and I'm so glad that you could be on Who's in the Kitchen. So thank you.
Thank you, Philithia. Thank you so much for having me, and I can't wait to hang out with you again.
That'll be fun. We'll bring our new dishes, our new concoctions. And you've been listening to WDRT Community Radio, coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, 91.9 FM, and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org. And you can listen to this show and previous shows by going to WDRT.org and going to our archives, look up Who's in the Kitchen, or Digging Deep, which comes on once a month. Our show airs on Saturdays at noon. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you, Christina, for being on Who's in the Kitchen.
Thank you, Philithia. It was truly my pleasure.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too.